sometimes a multicultural society can be as volatile as tectonic plates. A mere 8 years after Sarajevo held the Winter Olympics and showed the world how Muslims, Orthodox, Catholic, Jewish, and non-religious communities could live in harmony, political factions stoked deep-seated ethnic discord. They worked to divide people in the six republics of Yugoslavia as they each fought to become independent nations. But the bloody Bosnian War, many of us remember in horror, ended nearly 30 years ago. To let us know what Bosnia-Herzegovina is offering visitors now as a destination, we're joined by tour guide Sanal Meric. He specializes in guiding visitors to meet the people and visit the attractions in his part of the Balkans. Sanal, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
What an exciting time to live through. I mean, when you were a boy, your country was torn in war, and now things are good. What's new in Bosnia-Herzegovina?
Well, actually, a lot. We are talking about the country that is now considered to have one of the most complicated political systems in the world. So you can imagine all the layers that are hiding underneath the surface and the name of Bosnia-Herzegovina. But now life is getting better, mm-hmm. And we have always been a very diverse society, and we are always take a lot of pride in that. And when we are talking about ethnics and different religions, mm-hmm. we had from early ages, we had early Christians, then we have Eastern Orthodox, Muslims, Jews. We had actually quite a big population of Jews, especially from the time when Spain uh-huh. expanded them. They considered Bosnia to be a very liberal and open country, and they settled in. So nowadays, our capital, Sarajevo, is considered to be Jerusalem of Europe, because within 200 meters, you can find mosque, church, and synagogue sitting in the same street.
Now, part of this would be, for some reason, there's sort of a demographic enclave of Muslim population, mm-hmm. and that goes back to the Ottoman Empire, is that right? Or how did the Muslim, this is the closest to the center of Europe group yes. of Muslim people, and it's go way back. It's not modern refugees, but it's there for centuries and centuries.
We are Central Europe.
Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking, thank you very much.
Yes.
That's a problem
yes.
that Americans yes, like me yes. have. We think of France
think
as
of
Central
us
Europe.
As Eastern Europe, we are right. actually Central Europe. And with the arrivals of Ottomans in the early 1400s, and it took them some time to invade the lane. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a land. It's like...
Oh, so this was when the Ottomans were actually attacking Vienna.
Yes.
Is that when
yes.
they came?
No, they actually made quite an important base mm-hmm. in Bosnia. The historic importance is they have split the areas that were conquered into alliates, like the small areas that are easily to govern. Mm-hmm. But they haven't done this with Bosnia. The entire country stayed within the Ottoman Empire as one whole. And we were the westernest outpost of the Ottoman Empire.
Okay, and the Ottoman Empire was Muslim.
Yeah.
Okay, so today in Bosnia and Herzegovina, would you say the three big ethnic or religious groups would be Muslim Bosniaks, Eastern Orthodox Serbs, and Catholic Croats?
Yes.
Okay, so that's part of the mix. What's the difference between Bosnia and Herzegovina? Is it one country or two countries? Or
That's interesting, because that Bosnia-Herzegovina name comes in the late 19th century. From the early times, when Bosnia was first mentioned, sometimes in 1800s, it was just Bosnia. The name comes from the river that goes in the Sarajevo region. But now, with arising as a kingdom, in the early Mid Ages, Bosnia had a very important ruler from that area that was called Humina, or Hum, which is Herzegovina today. And he got a title, Herzog, which is in German,
okay.
Duke.
Okay, so that's kind of like.
They loved it so much, and they call it the land of Herzog, or as we say, Herzegovina. And there you have it. But there is not a single line that you can say where Herzegovina and Bosnia starts. It's just the southern part of the country closest to Adriatic.
So you live in Herzegovina.
I do live. I'm very close to Mostar.
And if I refer to your country as Bosnia, that's a problem for you?
No, when we are outside, we are kind of go under the same shell. But within the country, there is always this north-south situation, and we like to be preferred like, I'm Herzegovinian.
Well, that's good for us travelers to know. Hey, Sanal, how is tourism now? Because I know people were afraid because of the war, but that was a long time ago. There's so many travelers in Dubrovnik, and Mostar, the most interesting place in Bosnia, in my estimate, is just 2 hours or so away.
Well, it's blossoming. Tourism is kind of a spreading everywhere. And it is a very important branch of our economy, and we are trying to put it on this very stable foundation. And given the very close area to the Croatian coast, Split, Mostar, and we are kind of there, and people love to go there.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Sano Maric, and he's from Herzegovina, or Bosnia-Herzegovina. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and David's calling in from Seattle. David, do you have any thoughts on Bosnia-Herzegovina?
Yes, thanks, Rick, and thanks, Sano, for the opportunity. We were privileged enough to have Sano as a local guide, and I wondered if you, Sano, could talk about how education is helping to overcome the divisions between children of different faiths and cultures in Bosnia post-war.
So that is interesting because you have this heritage of sectarian struggles and Muslim families and Orthodox families and Catholic families all literally killing each other one generation later, going to school together.
It is still kind of a burning question in our society because we unfortunately still function given where you live in Bosnia and whether you're following Bosnian curriculum, Croatian or Serbian. Because when we talk about the language as one bonding unit of the nation, we all perfectly understand each other. It's just about the thought how you name your language.
What are the three languages?
Bosnian, Croatian, and Serbian.
So these are three different languages that are really essentially all the same.
All the same.
Depending on your family's heritage.
Slavic roots that we all share there. So it's pretty much just a slight, you can call it dialect.
Do the children go to a Muslim school or a Catholic school?
There are not so many Muslims or Catholic. We have a public schools. But the problem is, especially in my hometown, which a lot of people who are traveling with us, that we are making a stop there. And I really like to take them there to show them. We still have this one of the few schools that's kind of segregated because it is physically separated. Bosnian Muslims from the Catholics. One are going to one entrance, the other are going to the second. And I'm very active there in our local community, working for a nonprofit, and we are putting a lot of efforts to work with kids to meet these two ends. And we are started a daily care center where we have all the kids from both schools coming, and we are trying just, the thing is parents. Because when they say it's enough, we will have one school. It's simple as that.
So, David, that sounds hopeful.
Yes, it does. And we were witness to what you're working on, Sano, in this town, in your town. Very impressed. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, David. Nicole's calling in from Victoria in British Columbia. Nicole, have you been to Bosnia-Herzegovina?
No, I haven't, but it sounds like a great place to visit.
Yeah, what are you wondering about?
I was wondering about the Tunnel of Hope. I've heard that's a place in Sarajevo, and was wondering what is it about and if Sanel recommends visiting it.
Definitely. It is one of the things that you cannot miss in Sarajevo. It is now turned into a museum. It starts with a family house because during the war, it was the best kept secret because that was the breeding straw of entire Sarajevo during the siege. And they have managed to dig entire tunnel.
So wait a minute, the breathing straw. So that was what kept the people alive, basically.
Yeah, because everything that went in and out of Sarajevo went to the tunnel.
Through this tunnel.
Yeah.
So the tunnel of life.
And we are talking about a very tiny tunnel. When you go through, you have to really duck to walk, and it was dark, and they dug it under the airport.
So this was, Sarajevo was sieged.
Yes,
food and water could
closed.
Not get in, could not get out. Who was inside and who was outside?
Well, outside on the outskirts of Sarajevo on the hill, which is really hilly there, we had Olympics in 84. It was Serbs, Bosnian Serbs, who are having problem when Bosnia declared independence from Yugoslavia. They didn't want to break out.
So they wanted to stay with
they
Serbia.
They wanted to stay with Serbia.
Because they were the Serbian part of Bosnia, and they thought it would be better for their ethnic group to be part of Serbia, whereas the non-Serbian Bosnians wanted to break away and start their independent country.
That is, but it's a very complex situation. We had like thousands of Serbs staying in Sarajevo, fighting those Serbs.
Oh, what a complicated situation.
Yeah,
how long was this siege?
Almost 4 years.
4 years, and this Tunnel of Hope today is sort of a monument to that struggle.
It is. It is set up as a museum. People go and visit because it is something that kept Sarajevo alive.
Nicole from Victoria, you know, there are so many heart-wrenching and inspirational memorials and sites related to the tragic war that Bosnia has lived through. And when we go there, this is an important part of your itinerary.
That's right. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Sanal Maric, and we're talking about Bosnia-Herzegovina. Sanal is a guide there. You know, Sanal, one of the biggest attractions for a lot of people is Medjugorje. It's a very, very popular pilgrimage destination for Roman Catholics. What is Medjugorje, and how's it doing lately?
Well, it's our latest estimates. It has like almost 1.5 million visitors, and we are talking about something that was a very small village, up to 500 people living there like 40 years ago. Now, what's fascinating, when you go there, you can hear all the languages of the world, and people love to go there because the story goes 30 some years ago, four kids have come to say that they have witnessed appearance of Holy Mary on the hill and that she talked to them.
So that's like Fatima in Portugal. It's
pretty much
these kind of places.
Yes.
So they had this apparition, I think it's called,
yes.
And the kids reported that they talked with the Virgin Mary. And since then, you said 1.5 million people have come.
Annually
to this,
yes,
little village.
Yes.
When I was there, there was just cinder blocks everywhere. They were planning on building more and more infrastructure to handle the crowds
now
of pilgrims.
Now it is growing very fast. It's almost as a full-time city there.
So that's Medjugorje, and that's a unique kind of tourism, pilgrimage tourism. In our last few minutes, I'd like to talk about Mostar and Sarajevo, and then I'd like to go to dinner with you and talk about food in Bosnia.
Oh, yeah.
In Mostar, that's the city that really is infamous as a city that was ripped apart, also was Sarajevo, by the war, mm-hmm. and now it's come together. There's that famous bridge with the pointed arch gracefully going over the river.
Yeah, river, yes.
What does that bridge mean to the people of Bosnia, and what happened there?
A lot. I mean, it is a meeting point where they have poets. I'm not that poetic myself, but I love to read poetry. They have wrote thousands of songs about how banks of Neretva kiss each other over the old bridge and how gracefully it stood there. But unfortunately, in the last war, it was, we like to say, shoot down like a person, because this is what old bridge feels to most our people. It is the sole representative of the entire town. And it's managed to stay there for 500 years until it was set to sit on the bank of the Neretva River.
So you have this venerable, beloved bridge.
Yes.
And it was pummeled by our artillery.
Yes.
Until it finally, the rocks fell into the river. And I was in a theater in Mostar once, the little tourist theater mm-hmm. that shows the history of the war and everything. And the theater was filled with former Yugoslavians, people from around Bosnia.
Yeah.
And everybody was watching, and the bombs hit. And finally, that bridge crumbled into the river, and you could feel the sadness, like somebody had just died.
I think the feeling was like you had just lost your family member when the bridge went down.
And now the bridge is rebuilt. Also, when you stand on the top of the bridge, you look around and you see an interesting skyline of crosses, church spires, and minarets. What do you think now when you look around your city and you see the crosses, church spires, and the minarets?
Well, this is the thing, when you're growing up in our country, it's kind of a normal thing mm-hmm. to be surrounded by all this. And the thing is, we just need to be reminded of how easily life can be normal and how well we lived mm-hmm. just before the war.
And if you go for 2 hours on the road, you get up to Sarajevo. And Sarajevo, we know because that's where the Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated in 1914, which helped kick off World War I. Sarajevo also suffered greatly in the recent war. It's a city of about, 300,000 people, beautiful Ottoman-style old town. When you take a group to Sarajevo, Sanal,
yes,
what is your mission as a tour guide? What do you show them? What do people find most interesting?
Actually, it depends with what kind of appetite they came, but you cannot dodge the war team when you are there, especially with what's happening in Sarajevo and with the siege of Sarajevo, which mm-hmm. is one of the longest in history of wars. But Sarajevo has such a beautiful story. And one of the beautiful parts of Sarajevo is food.
The food?
Yes.
So they have a big market hall there.
They have amazing market, and food is literally everything, and all the great smells of coffee, tea, and homemade food is just filling the street, and you cannot resist to jump into the next restaurant and have a great meal.
If you took me into the market hall, what are some of the smells and the delightful things to taste that I might see? What might we put in a picnic if we were going to go shopping at the market?
Okay, so the thing that we are having heavy on the meat, especially with cevapcici.
Cevapcici, what is that?
That is almost like a little sausage. It's made of a mixed meat, and it is grilled. It is Bosnian favorite food.
And are there different ones for each region, or is it just the basic cevapcici?
There's basic cevapcici, but everybody claims, because you add some, you know, spices to it to make it like this or that, but bottom line is it is the same, but everybody claims that they have the original, the best tasting cevapcici, and they try to convince you that there is the best one.
So as travelers, we'll have that on our list. Cevapcici, it's the minced meat grilled on a skewer. And there's a sauce that comes with that that's very important, I think.
Yeah, it is.
And what is the burek is another
It is. And you make me homesick now. So burek, I love burek. We have all these kind of pies, and burek is a meat pie. Zeljanica is a spinach pie. Sirnica is a cheese pie. And the only thing, we have a joke that goes like, you cannot upset Bosnian with politics or anything. But when you call any pie burek, they're going to go crazy.
So there's a correct burek.
There is a correct
burek. And you
burek.
Must respect that.
Yes. And when our neighbors from Croatia come and they say, can I have burek with cheese? Do you know what they're going to do? They're going to make a burek and put a slice of cheese on top of it.
There you go. It's a travesty. We've been talking with Sanal Maric, and Sanal is from Bosnia-Herzegovina. Sanal, you're traveling around the United States now, but when you get home and you go to a coffee shop and you have a Bosnian coffee,
mm-hmm.
I understand it's a drink, but it's also a ritual. Tell us about
it is.
When you get home, just to finish your conversation, take me with you, and what will it be like for you to have a Bosnian coffee?
First of all, we have this luxury called time. And we like to invest a lot of our time in this little ritual called coffee. You can sit over coffee for 2 hours. And we are not drinking this huge, big Americano. You know, it's like almost 2 shots of coffee in a small thing called filjan that we have. And it's kind of based on a Turkish coffee, where 500 years after, of course, we can adapt it. And we call it Bosnian coffee, and it's really good. Similar to Italian espresso. And this is the best excuse to have a great time with your friends. You can just simply sit there, talk about whatever comes to your mind. And now when I return home, it's going to be mostly talk about me being talking about what I saw and what I experienced being here, because none of my friends have traveled here. So I'm going to be a very popular home.
You'll have some interesting stories about your adventure in the United States. And when United States travelers get to go to former Yugoslavia, I hope they make Bosnia-Herzegovina stop on their route.
Me too.
How do you say thank you very much and happy travels?
Hvala lijepo I sretan put.
All right, Sano, thank you very much and happy journey.
Thank you.
Sano Maric is a language professor and a tour guide who lives in Stolac, just under an hour's drive south of Mostar. We have a link to his Facebook page in this week's show notes at ricksteves.com/radio. Up next, a local guide helps us follow the route of an ancient procession that's wound its way through Athens for more than 2,000 years up to the temples on the hilltop fortress of the Acropolis.